In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Presidents and prime ministers cannot govern without first being elected by the people. And even kings, though they rule by the right of their birth, cannot keep their thrones without the consent of their subjects. This is a lesson taught to us by every revolution in history. Our earthly rulers depend for their power upon the citizens that they govern. But God is not like this. It is not by our vote or by our consent that He first created and now sustains the universe in existence. Each Sunday, we profess in the Creed, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty." We believe that God is all-powerful, that He can do all things. And even before He created the universe with all its beauty and diversity, He was all-powerful. For indeed, within God Himself, there is, so to speak, a universe of being, the beauty of which is completely surpasses any created thing. For God is a perfect communion of life-giving love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For this all-powerful God, the work of creating the universe, with all its complexity of laws, is the work of a single moment. Even if that work of creation unfolds over time, from God's point of view, all He had to do was will it. All He had to do was to say, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, Almighty God could create an infinite series of universes and destroy them with perfect ease, and each one would be better than the last. And yet this all-powerful God is so present to our universe that not a sparrow can fall from the sky without Him knowing it, and even the hairs on our head are numbered. And so God is deeply united to the world, even though He is completely separate from it. And finally, God acts towards the universe with perfect justice, with perfect righteousness, not because we've done anything to deserve that treatment, but because of who He is, the perfectly just, the perfectly righteous God. And it is this all-powerful God, which owes nothing to His creatures, that binds Himself to His creatures by becoming a human being. The sign that the angel gave to the shepherds was that the child laid in a manger would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And this is a custom that is very, I dare say, unfamiliar to us. But it was thought that the child had to be immobilized, lest it injure itself by a movement. And so the parents would carefully wrap it very tightly so that it could not move at all when it was newly born. And so here we have the sign given to the shepherds that the Almighty God cannot now even raise His hand. This is an image of how God subjects Himself to His creatures by becoming man in Jesus Christ. And all through His life, we can see this subjection. He is obedient to His mother and foster father. The trade that He chooses is the trade of being a carpenter, just like His father. And He spends most of His life in one small town, subject to Our Lady and Saint Joseph. Then all through His life, until that great hour of His passion, when He is seized like a robber in the night, His hands are bound and He is brought, dragged really, between the different courts of Pilate and Herod. And then finally, once more, His limbs are immovable when they are nailed to the cross for our salvation. In all of this, Christ subjects himself to his creatures. And even after his glorious resurrection, which tore open the solid rock of his tomb, and after his ascension to the Father's right hand, where he is safe from all further indignities, he still subjects himself to his creatures. For in the Holy Eucharist, he comes down at the words of a sinful priest to enter into the hearts of sinners. He subjects himself to a small tabernacle. The God who created the universe dwells here with us in a tabernacle we could measure by a few feet. In all of this, in binding himself to his creatures, in being born under the law, the all-powerful God shows us the way of true love. Because if love is to be authentic, it must subject itself to others. And we see this very simply in the marriage vows that a couple makes on their wedding day, when they promise to subject themselves to each other. We see this again in the vows that a priest makes on his ordination, when he promises obedience to the church in the person of the bishop. And sometimes this submission can feel constraining. It can be more like a straitjacket. It can be like those swaddling bands that bound the infant God. But if it is done out of love, if it becomes the sign of our love, then we will begin to taste the great freedom that goes along with authentic love. I will conclude with an image, a story really, from the life of Saint Alphonsus de Liguori. Now, Saint Alphonsus was a very busy priest, and chances are if you went to meet him, you would have to spend a few minutes waiting in the waiting room outside his office before he was ready to see you. And the saint had placed a model of the solar system there in his office, and one of his visitors asked him why he did that. Why not a beautiful statue of Our Lady or a crucifix? Why the solar system? And Alphonsus Liguori replied, "Just as the planets revolve around the sun, so we must learn to revolve around our Lord. By following Jesus, by conforming our wills to his, we don't become immobile or less than what we are meant to be. Rather, we find our true course in life, and so are able to live a life full of happiness until one day, please God, we taste that perfect happiness in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."